The whistleblower complaint is made public, and Joseph McGuire, the acting director of National Intelligence, testifies about it on Capitol Hill.
I think the whistleblower did the right thing. I think he followed the law every step of the way.
Plus, federal regulators call for broad changes in the wake of the 737 MAX crashes. It's Thursday, September 26th. This is the PM edition of What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The federal investigation into two fatal Boeing 737 MAX jet crashes has led to its first formal recommendations. The National Transportation Safety Board is calling for broad changes. Our Andy Pastor says the board questioned the use of test pilots by Boeing and other manufacturers to determine system safety. The board also had specific recommendations regarding the 737 MAX jets.
The safety board determined that the flight tests that were done, mostly in simulators, but not entirely by these test pilots, didn't replicate the full range of problems that they could encounter if this particular flight control system misfired or malfunctioned. So essentially, the tests were, in layman's terms, somewhat rigged to present a simpler picture of what the pilots would see, what the average pilot would see in the cockpit. And in reality, it was a much greater cacophony of all sorts of warnings and alerts and sounds, which could be confusing, sometimes contradictory. And so the board said that that was a significant mistake in not testing for that full range of problems that could occur.
That finding in particular is significant as criminal and civil investigations continue.
All these folks from the outside looking at what happened are now trying to determine, were these significant mistakes and oversights? Or was there something more going on here? Was this rushed? Was this something more nefarious that Boeing didn't do some of these tests, which seem, even to laymen on the outside, very basic and essential?
Boeing 737 MAX jets have been grounded since March after two fatal crashes that killed 346 people. Both planes crashed because pilots failed to cope with the aircraft's flight control system, known as MCAS, which pushed the nose of the jets down and sent them into dives. The pilots may have been distracted by sometimes contradictory warnings prompted by faulty sensor readings. Syrian government forces carried out a chlorine attack in May, according to a new U.S. intelligence assessment. The attack was the first confirmed violation of a chemical weapons ban since 2018. That led to a U.S. strike in Syria. The latest incident occurred near the village of Kobana as Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's forces tried to push back opposition forces. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said Thursday that the U.S. would not allow these attacks to go unchallenged or tolerate those who choose to conceal them. The Syrian government has denied the attack. The United Auto Workers strike at General Motors, now in its 11th day, is starting to take a toll on businesses throughout Michigan and impacting the state's already slowing economy. Our Chris Marr has more from the state, where GM has 15 manufacturing facilities.
So far, the impact of the strike has mostly been limited to local businesses near production facilities, restaurants in particular, who say they're losing their regular lunch business from workers who would call their orders in ahead of time. Some suppliers have also started laying off workers in Michigan and beyond, and some cities in Michigan are also seeing their public safety budgets squeezed as they pay overtime to police officers who are watching over picket lines and plant entrances. Economists say that if the strike goes on for an extended period of time, if it stretches over a month, the state will start to feel it much more significantly in lost sales tax and income tax revenues. At least one analyst has said that a protracted strike would put the state even at risk of slipping into a recession.
Talks between General Motors and the union continued on Thursday. Major sticking points include wages, health care, and giving temporary employees full-time status. The maker of the video streaming Peloton exercise bikes and treadmills went public today, and shares closed down more than 11% on their first day of trading. Parent company Peloton Interactive started trading at $27 a share, nearly 7% lower than the price set in the company's initial public offering. and former French President Jacques Chirac has died. The conservative two-term president was known for rallying international opposition to the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq in 2003. Before he was president of France, he was the mayor of Paris from 1977 to 1995 and had served as interior minister, agriculture minister, and twice as prime minister. Jacques Chirac was 86 years old. The full whistleblower complaint that led the House to begin a formal impeachment inquiry has been released to the public. The complaint alleges that President Trump tried to put pressure on Ukraine to investigate his political rival, Democratic presidential frontrunner Joe Biden, and that White House officials sought to conceal evidence of a phone call between Trump and his Ukrainian counterpart. Today, the House Intelligence Committee grilled Acting Director of Intelligence Joseph McGuire on the whistleblower complaint and the duties of his office for nearly 3 hours. Joining me now from Capitol Hill with details is Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes. So, Siobhan, we had two things happening at roughly the same time today. The full whistleblower complaint was released to the public shortly before McGuire's testimony. We learned from that complaint that the White House tried to lock down records of the July call that has been in question, the call between President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky, and that several officials were very concerned by the call. What else did we learn from the full complaint today?
We learned that White House officials were directed by White House lawyers to remove that transcript from the computer system in which they're normally stored and to be put into some type of separate system that is used for classified information. And that caused great consternation among Democrats on the committee because they felt that information that is supposed to be kept secure for national security purposes is different from politically sensitive information, and that instead politically sensitive information had been stored elsewhere. We also learned that the complaint dealt not just with that July 25th phone call, but with a lot of the work that the president's personal lawyer, Rudolph Giuliani, had been involved in relation to Ukrainian government officials. It was extensive, and it makes Rudy Giuliani a major focal point now in this investigation.
So let's turn to McGuire's testimony on Capitol Hill. He was grilled by lawmakers on the whistleblower complaint. Here's an exchange between California Representative Adam Schiff and McGuire.
Well, let me ask you this, Director. The whistleblower also says, I am also concerned that these actions pose risks to U.S. national security and undermine the U.S. government's efforts to deter and counter foreign interference in U.S. elections. You would agree, if there's a credible allegation along those lines, that we should investigate it?
I agree that if there was election interference, the complaint was not about election interference. It was about a classified, confidential, diplomatic conversation.
Involving election interference by the president, sought by the president. That doesn't take it out of the realm of seeking foreign assistance. It makes it all the more pernicious. Wouldn't you agree?
I, as I said, I don't disagree with the IGIC's assessment that it was a credible matter.
Siobhan, tell us more about this moment during the testimony and what else stood out to you today.
So this moment came at the very end of the hearing, and Adam Schiff attempted to drill down on a subject that had concerned a lot of other Democrats. Basically, Joseph McGuire, the intelligence director, seemed to be taking a very narrow view of his role. He cast himself as a former military man, ex-Navy, someone who appreciated the chain of command, and who simply did not see the conversation that the president had with the Ukrainian president as a matter of foreign election interference. And Mr. Schiff and the other Democrats were absolutely shocked by this, because the implication is that if the Director of National Intelligence can't see election interference when it's happening before his, really in some sense, his very eyes, given what's in the transcript, how can the country be safe at all? That really is at the heart of what Democrats were trying to ask. Mr. McGuire also declined to say whether or not he had spoken to President Trump about the whistleblower complaint. He said that he was the president's intelligence lawyer, that it was important to really be protective in some sense of that professional relationship. Republicans separately spent a lot of time taking a shot at Adam Schiff over comments he'd made at the beginning of the hearing, likening Mr. Trump's behavior to that of a mob boss. They felt that Mr. Schiff's efforts at improvisation essentially manufactured an unfair image of President Trump. And Republicans also start to make hay of some of the pretty tough questions that Democrats asked of Mr. McGuire, with Republicans saying basically Democrats were impugning the integrity of the acting national director of national intelligence, which prompted Democrats to really pull back, get very careful, and say, we are not questioning his integrity, we're questioning his judgment. In particular, Democrats were concerned because Mr. McGuire said that upon receiving information about the complaint from the Inspector General, his first move was to consult with the White House to see what to do about it, to see whether or not executive privilege was implicated in any way. And his second move was to go to the Justice Department for possible guidance from the Office of Legal Counsel. This shocked Democrats because they felt that it was inappropriate for somebody trying to manage a complaint and get it to Congress to seek guidance from the very subjects of that complaint. Democrats began to question whether or not the entire whistleblower system was now put at risk, if anybody would be comfortable coming before the typical government channels to express serious concerns.
It sounds like this hearing and the full complaint have raised many more questions. Where does this leave us now regarding the House impeachment inquiry?
So Adam Schiff characterized the whistleblower complaint as a roadmap. For anybody who has paid attention to impeachment history, that is a very loaded term because a roadmap is what the term of art that was used during the President Nixon impeachment proceedings. What this means for Mr. Schiff is he said that his committee is going to be investigating over the congressional recess. They are going to be looking very carefully at this, and it also essentially puts Mr. Schiff now at the center of the impeachment effort. Classically, the Judiciary Committee handles impeachment, but it is the subject matter, the topic here, that is going to really put it squarely in the purview of the Intelligence Committee.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes joining us from Capitol Hill. Thank you so much, Siobhan.
Thank you.
And you can follow the latest developments and analysis of this story on our website, WSJ.com. That's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.